Let's do it. Let's do it. Broadcasting from around the world, you're listening to The First 100, a podcast on how founders acquired their first 100 paying customers. Here's your host, Hadi Radwan.
Good to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Hadi. I'm doing great.
Amazing. Thank you for stopping by. Another insurance fellow, Devin Bostic, is the founder of Lucky Truck, which is an insurtech that helps small trucking companies purchase and manage their insurance. And you've raised around $8 million to scale your operation. Devin, tell us, how did you come across the insurance space?
When I was just out of college, I moved to New York, and I actually started my career at a bank where we were raising money for mainly venture capital funds. So I saw a bunch of exciting startups. And after about a year, I briefly joined a food tech startup. Then I joined an insurtech startup. I didn't know a ton about insurance at the time, but I saw this startup called CoverWallet rapidly grow, distributing small business insurance. I found it really exciting. And I had been wanting to build a startup for a while, came across truck insurance, and didn't really see a good way to manage trucking insurance online. Yeah, I was looking at other verticals. I was kind of curious about other types of insurance, but I started to call truckers and just ask them about how they purchased, managed, and then understood their insurance. And it was pretty clear that a lot of truckers did not have a good grasp of what coverages they needed. A lot of truckers were going underinsured and just trying to meet whatever compliance requirements shippers or the federal government was asking for. But they really weren't always focused on actual coverages that mattered in their business, from like roadside assistance and different aspects like that. So anyway, we built like a distribution-focused model that allowed truckers to see their drivers, see what cargo they're hauling, and also see what trucks and trailers are available and give them a lot more visibility. Believe it or not, a lot of truck insurance, even to this day, is still sold over email, sold over phone, and managed over email and phone. So imagine taking a 100-question application form and running a trucking company where you're switching out trucker, drivers and trucks and whatnot several times a year and shifting your insurance coverages several times a year as well. Like, these are businesses with basically no margins. So it's really important to keep insurance costs down, and insurance costs have over doubled in the last decade. So it's definitely a pain point. So we were trying to deliver that kind of visibility to the subset. And that's the story of Lucky Truck.
Yeah, it's a great story. And it's very interesting that you're looking at one segment, an ICP, which is the trucking companies or the truckers. How did you actually reach out to these guys? Where can you find a trucker to call them and say, hey, let me understand how you buy insurance?
So we had a funny moment in the beginning of the business. I started to look online for different trucking companies, and pretty much in the first few hours, I saw that there's data available on any trucking company hauling commercially. So in the US, there's about 15.5 million trucks. And when you look at companies, there's somewhere around 500,000 owner operators. So someone who is both driving and owning the truck, and then about 50 to 60% of those companies roughly are just one person, one truck. And then you start to see a curve of, well, now we have two trucks or three trucks. And so you see basically someone using their personal credit score, taking out personal loans, building this truck company. And if you're doing that commercially, you have to put all of your data online. The federal government requires it. So if you drive by any truck in the US, you'll see a Department of Transportation number. If they're doing interstate haulings, crossing state lines, you'll see an MC number, a motor carrier number. And if you look that up on a site called Safer, it's through the federal motor department, so the FMCSA's website. You can look up their main phone number. They actually had email addresses about 6 years ago, but then too many tech companies were hitting them up, so they took that down. You can see like what they're hauling and if their insurance is in good standing and whatnot. Yeah, one of the first things we did was we just did like a cron job API or a cron job like data pull type thing, saying that loosely. And I just ran some analysis through those sets, and we were just calling out to them. And 90% of truckers that you call to, they're kind of like, wait, who are you? Why are you calling? And not that interested. But, you know, about one out of 10 times in the early days, I would call and say, hey, I have this company. And they're like, we've never heard of that. And of course they haven't, because like, we're just a shell of a company at that point. About one out of 10 truckers would really want to get into it. And just some of them would vent and say, oh, like my insurance agent. And it was just really interesting to hear the different feedback that you would get.
Amazing story. If you go back to your early days, what channel was the most interesting for you to get your first 100 clients? Was it cold outreach? Did you do other non-scalable maybe strategies to validate your value proposition?
So when I started the business, I had just turned 26 and I had never managed anyone before. And at the time, I thought it was a great idea to set up a call center. Like the second I saw all of that data available, I basically downloaded it all and signed up with, at the time, a CRM called Base. We ended up migrating it to HubSpot, and later we migrated it to Salesforce, which was interesting. I just remember it was 1.1 million records, not at all technical at the time. I've become more technical just out of necessity, but I remember just downloading the 64-bit Excel, and that was enough to process 1.1 million records on my computer. Believe it or not, my brother was studying in London at the time. I had studied at London School of Economics back in 2013, and then he was studying there as well in 2019, my youngest brother. I remember flying over and deciding to set up a call center in Serbia out of all places. I had a friend in New York who was Serbian. He basically shared with me how many truckers were using people in Serbia to help with like finding loads and admin, different admin and compliance things. So anyway, I'm literally sleeping on my brother's floor in London, kind of jet lagged. It was like 2-3 a.m. I put out some feelers. I'm like listening to call recordings through the interview process of, hi, I'm with Lucky Truck. I'm calling to, you know, we put like a basic script together, and part of the interview process was people were sending over recordings to kind of show how they would reach out. So anyway, I end up going there and setting up a whole separate company, which by the way was an incredible headache. I spent a while trying to just get, he's still there today, but Vuk is still on the Lucky Truck team and does a lot of our deal desk and compliance stuff and just checking different policies. But we basically built out a 6-person team and just started calling truckers on it. And we had, at the time, a call system called Toki. It was a lot cheaper than like Talkdesk or Five9. And we were bootstrapped at this point. So I was paying basically for everything out of pocket. And we basically had 5 Serbian people just calling out to truckers. We were tracking the conversion, and they were basically filling out the Nyko app, which is Geico's commercial auto part, manually. And then in tandem, we had our developers automating that. We bucketed the automation into like drivers, vehicles, commodities, and then this general insurance section where it was like, get them into a profile. Here's the parts of the profile, and then here's the coverages needed based on that. But it was honestly chaos. Just like everyone had like call stats. It was like, can you call like 150 truckers a day and just try to get those leads over? And it was something like 3-4% conversion, but it was definitely a science experiment, if you will.
Indeed, especially when you're starting, you have to be scrappy enough to try things out, and then automation happens. I think Elon Musk has his framework where automation is actually the last part of his framework. First, you have to delete and simplify. And then, you know, you start building and automating, which is very, very interesting when you're starting. On another note, what sort of scalability were you able to achieve after you've gotten your first 100 customer? How did this philosophy of getting more clients change after that?
The way I see it on scalability is basically trying to make one salesperson profitable. And in order to do that, it was basically, here's the platform, here's the total revenue per customer, what's the throughput per salesperson, and then what are the support costs? In the beginning, it was just, here's sales, here's support. And in order to make the economics work better, then we hired like an SDR to help out the salesperson and reduce some of those costs. And then we hired a customer service person under the AM and had this hunter-farmer model going on. And then it became a game of, how can we interview better for salespeople? I think that was something that, even to this day, I'm always thinking about. Like, how do you really find some of the best salespeople? And we found that if you found some really talented salespeople, they would typically like double performance of your average salesperson at least, and that would significantly move the business. So it was like, get that stabilized. And it's like, as sales is stabilized, you obviously have to get leads for them, and you have to think about the efficiencies. And that's where we would have different channels, from buying paid leads on, like, you think about the difference between CPC and cost per click and cost per action. We bought a lot of leads on cost per action, where they would be social proofed by like a lead aggregator. And there's a bunch of these out there, like WinStreet and Bold Penguin and CIL, and there's a whole list, CTQ, there's a ton of them. And we had a lot of success with those. And at times we would do our own performance marketing. We did some like social media videos at one point and tried social channels out. And I think that's where the marketing, when you think of the funnel all the way from like top of the funnel, so tofu all the way to mofu middle of the funnel and bofu bottom of the funnel, really thinking about how do you get that funnel converting and how do you pull in leads from these different performance channels and think about how they're going to hit that funnel and then how many impressions needed to help out. I think that getting the cost there good and really thinking about how do you look at all of that as a marketing CAC and say, okay, every lead on average is this price. And then how do you look at the customer and say this much revenue, and revenue is like revenue up front, and then also keeping them, of course. You make a lot more money if you can renew them. And I think that in truck insurance, that can be tough because a lot of the carriers will change pricing depending on their loss ratios. You also see a lot of carriers come in where they'll try to do a new product and grow it quickly. And a lot of times, at least what I've seen when trucking insurance companies do that, they'll purposely underprice it a bit in the beginning to generate more revenue to then cover like management costs and all the other business expenses they have. And then they'll get that shock, get those loss ratios, get the the awkward conversation from the reinsurer as medical payment claims start to come in within the first few years. And then you'll see the pricing go up. And then if you're on like my end of that, then you see the impacts on the cohort curves when you isolate just that carrier, where you're like, okay, renewal's going great, retention's going great. Oh crap, like at year two, pricing just went up. And then you have to like rapidly do a motion where you either convince some of them to stay, or some, like in reality, you're really replacing a lot of them with a new insurance option then. And just because a lot of truckers are so price sensitive, they're going to call around and shop anyway, because they're on the road a lot and they have time to shop. And they're making like on average, like between 2 cents on the dollar if they're doing well. Yeah, considering all of that, that's just like a very broad explanation of just how we were looking at it.
That's very helpful. I mean, you're starting a new venture in the insurance space as well. What are things that you had to unlearn, or learnings that you don't want to bring to you with you to your new startup?
It's a really interesting time to work in insurance. And I think you look at the U.S., and the U.S. uses something like a quarter of the world's energy. If you look at watts per person, we use like 20 times the energy of like the average person in India. And I think the interesting thing with insurance is, well, insurance is all about risk management, making you whole again. And as we're using more energy, there's just a lot more opportunity for things to go wrong. But then there's a lot of like safety management and other aspects. I mean, look at the average highway and the cars moving really fast. If you were to go back to like 1800s, you would not see nearly that amount of kinetic energy. But you also see all the guardrails, the signage, all of those aspects. I think that's where, to me, insurance is really interesting. It's an incredible safety net when done well to help people live with less stress. Like, imagine embedded insurance where if you were to get hurt outside, health insurance is an incredible tool, especially if you have a significant problem or a toxin gives you cancer or something like that. I think in the context of that, what's different is that I still think there's a lot of opportunity in claims. Something that I noticed at Lucky Truck was a lot of the TPAs out there struggle to deliver a quick customer experience. And when you're on the receiving end of that, like at Lucky Truck, all of a sudden you're getting bombarded with customer support calls on a daily basis. And you're seeing the customer uncertainty. You're seeing the impact on like Lucky Truck's brand in that case, where the trucker's like, I just want to be made whole. I need to get back on the road. And the reality is, how do you, like, a lot of these TPAs just do not deliver a great experience. And I think it's the kind of thing where it's like, if you leave something in the fridge long enough, well, it starts to stink. And I think there's a lot of stuff that stinks when you look at claims. So in the spirit of that, something that I saw at Lucky Truck was, and it's just a hypothesis, but we saw the new company is called ClaimBright. And I think I actually reached out to one of the investors who had put $1 million in the Lucky Truck. I'm working with him on this model. You know, it's called ClaimBright, and we're trying to reduce the need for personal injury lawyers by creating this AI mediator where we're basically saying, we're connecting it to all of this private third-party data. We're basically saying, if somebody gets hurt at, say, a grocery store or a chain or due to a commercial auto fleet, like someone with a lot of vehicles, we're basically saying, why not just send a smart link to the claimant and allow them to fill out information, help them get made whole faster, because you know they're going to get a lawyer and you know that's going to like 3 or 4x the cost. And if you look at an area like Kings County, New York, 85% legal representation rate, or you see that in Cook County in Chicago. When you look at some areas like in Miami, you literally have ambulance chasers that go after, you have ambulance chasers everywhere, but Miami, it's egregious. They make people do unnecessary treatments just so they get more money. Basically, they'll say, go to this chiropractor, then go to this doctor, get this unnecessary spinal surgery. That's automatically like 4x more. And people do this for the money, but money isn't everything. Like a lot of times they'll wait for a year to get that. Whereas if you can just make the average person whole faster, it's not going to stink. Back to the fridge metaphor. It's like, how can you not have someone just lowballed by an adjuster? Instead, have someone where they get like an honest assessment, given they actually have a claim on their hands. They're not just making something up. And then get on with their life, where it's like, okay, within like a month or two, can you settle something, have an end, even if there's future medicals, at least put something in there that can track that. So anyway, like we're really early. There's definitely questions on the viability. It comes down to how much different brands and companies that process third-party claims are interested in our model. But we have a lot of data that suggests the model is going to be very effective, and we're excited to build it. And I think when you look at actually building it, it's been remarkable to see how much software is available compared to when I started Lucky Truck. There's also been incredible advances in like AI. And yeah, we're really excited to see where this one goes.
This is great news, Devin, for sure. We wish you the best of luck on your journey. How can our listeners be of help to you, and where can we find you? Where can people reach out to you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty responsive. Feel free to reach out if I can be of help. I enjoy working, helping early stage startups out. And if you're a company with third-party injury claims, we'd love to meet and just chat through some of your needs. Or if you're a claimant, you happen to see this where you have been injured at a store or in an auto accident, we'd love to chat with you and see if ClaimBright's right for you.
Amazing. We'll put all of these in the show notes. Thank you for stopping by, Devin.
Thank you so much. It was great to chat.
Thank you so much for listening to the First 100. We hope it inspired you in your journey. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify, and share it with a friend starting their entrepreneurship journey. Leave us a 5-star review. Your support will help spread our podcast to more viewers.